Good afternoon, everyone. Raise of hands, anyone not familiar with NACHO? All right. Probably helps that half of us are from NACHO, but no. So today I'm going to be talking about the local perspective and what's been going on in relation to local health improvement planning. I also don't have anything to disclose to you. I'm just going to be talking about a current window of opportunity that has come about as a result of the Affordable Care Act and why there's even more energy around health improvement work at the local level. Describe what's been going on kind of in the last 10 years or so, 5 to 10 years. I'm going to talk about MAP, which we've heard about already, as one of many frameworks that can be used at the local level, and then just briefly talk about the specific role health departments can play in community health improvement work, recognizing that they are not the only player in this type of initiative. So for those of you who are not familiar, as part of the Affordable Care Act, there's a new provision requiring nonprofit hospitals to complete a community health needs assessment, and the information from that assessment would be used to identify implementation strategies that would address needs that would be identified through that assessment. And so there's a lot of energy in understanding what this new provision is about. And NACHO is really interested in helping health departments connect with nonprofit hospitals, knowing that assessment is one of the three core functions of public health. And this is a real opportunity in communities that haven't seen a lot of collaborative assessment and improvement work to really mobilize around this new provision, and also acknowledging on the public health side that part of accreditation, voluntary accreditation, there are requirements to do community health assessment and improvement work as well. So why not get together and really do something collaborative as opposed to kind of doing something the same, you know, having different entities do the same thing. And of course, nonprofit hospitals are not the only entities other than health departments interested in assessments. There are a lot of other entities within what we call the local public health system assessment. I'm sure many of you have seen what we call the jelly bean diagram that shows the different public, private, voluntary entities that comprise the system. So organizations, groups, people who are really crucial in ensuring the public's health. And you can really think of this public health system very broadly, thinking about in terms of social determinants, thinking in terms of health equity, but really anyone in the community has something to contribute to understanding what it means to live, work, and play there. And so when we're thinking about all of these different groups that comprise the local public health system, they're included in thinking about community health improvement. So really, it's not just maybe these big kind of obvious partners, the hospitals and the health departments, but there are a lot of other different groups and people who should be a part of a community health improvement process. So kind of understanding that this is broader than what the health department's interested in, I am going to kind of focus in on the health department's role. And just to acknowledge that health departments have historically done a lot of assessment work. And we have what we call our profile of local health department survey that we conduct every year or so. We've been doing it for about 20 years. Most recently, we've surveyed our membership, and which is almost 3,000 local health departments, and 60% of them have completed a community health assessment in the past 5 years. And 51 have actually used that type of information that you collect as part of an assessment process as part of a community health improvement planning effort. So we're really looking at a majority of local health departments, and I think if you look at the proportion of the population represented, it's a high proportion of people represented across the country. I'm not going to go through these really in depth. If you are interested in looking at these statistics, I encourage you to go onto our website. If you go to NACHO.org, right in the front, it'll have a link to the national profile of local health departments. But you're seeing that health departments are not all doing community health assessment work or community health improvement planning work at the same time. It's really kind of something that comes about as a recognition within a community to say, we're going to get together. We know that it's important to collect assessment data to really understand what's going on in our community and have that as part of a community health improvement process. And so the timing really will vary, and you'll see that the prevalence of assessment work will vary, whether it was last 3 years, last 5 years. Sometimes it coincides with state requirements. Of course, accreditation is really increased the more recent activity around community health and assessment improvement planning. This is just a map just to give you a sense of the variability across the country. So the states that have a darker blue are showing greater concentration of assessment activity in those states. And of course, we expect this to become more concentrated as accreditation rolls out or becomes more, as more people apply for, health departments apply for accreditation. But a lot of this variability is also a reflection of state leadership. So in some states, there's a state coordinated effort to really support local community health assessment and improvement work. In other states, there may not be such a coordinated effort, so you're not seeing as much concentration. And if you look at these maps over time, you'll definitely see a pattern of which states have taken that role and how concentrated that activity is. This slide just kind of shows variability in terms of population in local health, in communities. And again, I will go through this quickly, but the main take-home message is that those communities that have a larger population, there's a small difference there in terms of their whether or not they've completed an assessment and improvement process. I will say that in our work with rural communities, we are finding that there's a lot of good innovative work, and I think even among the rural communities we talk to, their first inclination is, we don't have the resources to do an assessment and improvement process. We don't have the resources to do something like MAP. But what we're finding out and what they realize as they go through the work is that they're actually well positioned to do a lot of this partnership work because they're used to partnering. That's the only way that they can get things done with limited resources. And so while this kind of shows a trend that maybe some of the larger health departments or health departments representing more people might have more resources, that doesn't mean that they have a greater likelihood of success in doing this type of work. So I'm just going to shift a little bit. So we know that this is really not just about the health department, even though I just showed you a bunch of health department statistics, but I do want to kind of hit home that a local health department is a really great resource in doing assessment improvement planning, and to be a part of a process that doesn't include the local health department would really be kind of doing a disservice to you and your partners, because they do have a lot of capacity that they can contribute. As Teresa had mentioned, she had went through some kind of common elements. Her slide looks a little bit different, which is fine, because if you look at any kind of methodology, the wording will be a little bit different, number of steps might be different, but the mechanics of it really look very similar. However, what is different when you look at different models is the scope and the philosophy behind what they're trying to achieve. And so, for instance, an assessment and improvement process may be specific to one programmatic area. It might be a maternal and child health assessment and improvement planning process. You can have a process that's very specific to a local health department or perhaps one type of organization. Maybe the United Way is really only focusing on its role in the community and does an assessment and improvement plan specific to their mission. It could be specific to a local health department. Teresa mentioned the APEX-PH model. That's kind of the predecessor to the MAP model, which really focused on the role of the health department. Or you can really think more broadly in terms of the entire public health system, which is what we're going to talk about when we talk about the MAP model. You can also think about it in terms of a biomedical, a socio-ecological, a health equity model. You're really kind of moving from your downstream focus to an upstream focus. And in any model that you choose, that's something you want to really think about. Are you really thinking about behavior, individual changes, or are you really trying to get the root causes of why we have inequity in our communities? And then there's other kind of differences in terms of theoretical approach. Is it a health promotion, a strategic planning, or is it really focused on performance and improvement? And of course, these are not mutually exclusive. You can have models that have multiple characteristics, but the idea is, in thinking about what model is appropriate for any given community, it's good to really think about the scope and philosophy and communicate that with your partners so they know kind of what angle they're taking in their work. So I'm going to talk briefly about the MAP process. Again, it's mobilizing for action through planning and partnerships. There are a lot of other MAP acronyms out there, so I just want to let you know about that. They're funded by CDC. This initiative is also funded by CDC, so you cannot blame us. Sorry, Teresa. The key kind of features of the MAP process is that it's community-based, so it's not specific to any agency. This is really a community-owned strategic planning process, and that strategic planning is really key. We're thinking about long-term, data-informed, vision-informed planning work. It provides a method to help communities prioritize the issues, identify resources. So when Teresa mentioned assets, there's a methodology to really identify what those assets are and leverage them into improvement work. And also it's about taking action. So this is not a process where you create a plan, or it's not just an assessment process. We actually don't talk about MAP as an assessment tool because it's much more than that. There's an assessment piece to that, but the assessment informs the plan, and then the taking action piece is really about implementing and evaluating that plan. So we're not interested in just doing one of those different parts of that process. It's assessment, planning, and implementation. And NACHO really kind of... this is one of NACHO's flagship projects, and we are trying to elevate this as the gold standard in terms of community assessment and improvement planning, to say that maybe not all communities are ready for something like MAP, but we're working really hard to increase the capacity at the local level to really embrace something like the MAP process. So I mentioned that difference in scope and philosophy in terms of different models. I mentioned strategic planning, the community-owned, engaged process. Teresa talked about, a lot about community engagement, and there's really a lot of variability in what community engagement can look like. What we're interested in seeing as part of a MAP process is to really involve not just the grass tops, not just the organization representatives, but also community residents, and really thinking about broadly about engagement and what it means to have authentic engagement as opposed to token or kind of top-down paternalistic type of engagement. And of course, you know, we're working to build capacity at the local level to really have this authentic type of engagement. Focusing on the local public health system, and because we're working to increase community engagement and really thinking about ourselves as part of a network or a system, this idea of dialogue is really important. So what it means to have good communication among our different partners, with our residents, people who live, work, and play in our communities. And how do we build those skills so that those conversations are productive? I think we've all been in meetings or town hall situations where there are different sides coming together. You know they're going to butt heads. And how do you get over the acknowledgement that, yes, we're seeing things from different perspectives, but how do we acknowledge those differences and move to kind of a common understanding? And so some of the work that NACHO does to help build capacity focuses on this idea of what it means to have meaningful dialogue. Focusing on assets in addition to needs, if you look at the Affordable Care Act language, you'll notice that it says community health needs assessment. In kind of the public health literature, that's a little bit antiquated now. We don't just focus on needs, but recognizing, while that is important to know what the needs are, it's also important to identify what those assets are. And so there's a real focus on assets as part of the MAP process. We talk about a broad definition of public health. I mentioned social determinants. I'm really thinking about those upstream determinants. And then that this is iterative. So you don't just do assessment improvement planning just so that you can get accredited or just because you can say to the IRS, I'm a nonprofit hospital and I've produced this report. But really thinking about it as a way to continuously think about what can be done in a community to improve its health. And this is really iterative. We're trying to institute new practice, not check something off on a list. So I'm going to go through this quickly. There are a lot of resources on our website that talk about the mechanics of the process. If you're familiar with strategic planning, it's like the mechanics of it look very familiar. But again, keeping in mind that philosophy that I just went over. But you'll see that down the center of this graphic are the six phases of the MAP process. You organize your partners, you bring them up to speed, you understand what you're going to need in order to be successful. Then you create a vision, you try to come to a collective understanding of where the community wants to go. You conduct a series of assessments so that you know where you are currently, and that picture of where you are currently will help you determine what you need to do strategically to get to that vision. And so the latter part of the process is really about creating that community health improvement plan and implementing and evaluating it so that you have the assessment there. So that's kind of one piece of your health department to say I've collected assessment data, but then you can use that to create a community health improvement plan as part of identifying strategic issues, goals, and strategies. and then you're implementing that plan as part of the action cycle, which you see on the bottom. And there are four assessments to the MAP process, and you might say, why four? And they're really providing a unique lens into what's going on in a community. And so we're interested in not just health status data, which a lot of communities already have, which is kind of mortality, morbidity, risk factor data. But we're also interested in themes and strengths, which you'll see at the top, which really gets at, you know, what are the assets, what are perceptions of quality of life, what are themes associated with living in our community associated with health. You'll see the local public health system assessment, which measures how well all of the system partners collectively work together to deliver the essential public health services. And then forces of change, which is very similar to a SWOT analysis, but we're trying to get at what are those external forces that are going to affect our community. And so it's not just about saying we have 60% rate of obesity in our community, but themes and strengths tells you, well, why and what assets we can leverage. Local public health system assessment says, well, what areas of essential services are we weak? Maybe we're great at health promotion, but that's not really the issue. Maybe it's really around policy, and that's what the local public health system assessment can tell you. And then forces of change could possibly tell you about policies or economic conditions external to what you may be directly in control over that can affect the initiatives that you'd be interested in implementing. So that's MAP in a super, super quick nutshell. We usually do a two-day training. So for those of you who are interested in learning more, definitely talk to one of the NHS staff who are here at the session. In terms of the unique role of health departments, these are kind of six, and these are not the extensive list, but this is what we often hear from communities who've gone through the MAP process, that they're well positioned to be conveners of the local public health system, and so in many communities they're identified as kind of the backbone of that system and are well connected with different sectors. And so, of course, they would be good in facilitating the process, in engaging the community. Of course, health departments have the capacity to do data collection, analysis, synthesis, reporting. A lot of health departments have been funded to do evidence-based implementation, and so really understanding what it means to do evidence-based work. And then given the emphasis of quality improvement in terms of the accreditation process, in terms of NIFI, really understanding the role of assessment improvement planning in this kind of larger framework of performance and quality improvement. And I just leave you with a couple of pictures from some of our MAP communities. We have probably at this point about 800 local communities who are using the MAP process in some way. And you'll see here it's a great way to convene residents, different representatives from the local public health system. I would say the top things that we hear in terms of benefits, a lot of what Teresa already covered in terms of efficiency, reducing duplication, improving gaps, would also include kind of strategic alignment, really becoming clear about what each individual entity in the system's roles are and how are they strategically aligning and how are we working towards a common vision, a common goal. And also we've seen a lot of good benefits in terms of having evidence of what communities need and leveraging that evidence to get funding and also leveraging that evidence, that understanding, to really identifying interventions that are relevant and make sense to a community, as opposed to taking one off the shelf and hoping that it works. You're now better informed to really have something that's tailored to the needs and leverages the assets that are already available. And my time is up, but I will leave you with the MAP Mobile from Three Rivers District, Kentucky. This is just to say it can be fun. Melody Stafford rides around in her four-county district in this MAP Mobile, and she raises awareness and engages the community. And if you look really closely, you can actually see the names of her partners that are part of their MAP process. And she really does embody a really collaborative community health assessment improvement process. So I will leave you with that. Thanks so much. Thank you.